We got old in the time.
Oh, man. We've aged 3,000 years. We are Rumpelstiltskin. We just woke up and somebody was like, you don't look good. You've been asleep for 300 years.
Wait, but this is a special episode.
It is. It's our most special episode. So let me bring this really sick energy.
Yeah. No, we got to like start over. That was
I can do. This is who I am. And you know what? It's symbolic because it's sort of been I feel like everyone accepted us for who we were and what we brought to the table. And why should today be any different?
You know what? We always come with our most authentic self. So why shouldn't today be different?
Well, it shouldn't be. Should it?
No, it shouldn't. It really, really shouldn't.
Guys, we're really excited for this new chapter, and a lot of you have reached out to us this week to say that you're excited, which makes us
even more excited. I
was so happy.
I was nervous to tell them. I didn't want to disappoint anyone.
Well, the truth is it's only good news, and we're really like to be able to tell these stories the way we're going to get to on this new show,
totally,
where we get to really take our time and do our research and have help with the research and the production and just have like a whole team crafting these stories. It's really exciting for us.
There's no reading
10 Wikipedia articles the night before when you've had a couple of wines. Like those are the days of the past, and onward and upward, I say, these are the days of our lives.
It is. I mean, I think too, it's like to have a team that's going to come together and do this stuff. I mean, the first episode, we're recording this Monday. The first episode is launching tomorrow, and Quinn and I heard it, and I think you're going to be happy with it.
Oh, totes.
I mean,
totes
my goats. Just really cool music, Foley. Like, it's just really well produced, and you still get Quinn and me making some jokes.
I wonder if you guys will be able to tell that we were a little nervous. Like, we were like, you know, it's our first episode, and we're like, usually it's Carrie and I alone in a room, and in this case, we've got, you know, producers that are in the Zoom with us, and I think we were a little, like, shy and nervous at first, but we've recorded several episodes, and I feel like we're just getting, like, more and more ourselves as the time goes by.
Totally.
Do you feel that way?
Well, I think like when I remember to the first time we recorded this podcast, like how nervous I was,
right,
and how far we came. And I think what's really cool about it is as nervous as we were for maybe recording the first episode, we also had 120 something episodes that we had already recorded. So it's cool that like the nerves of the first episode of Crime of a Lifetime, mm-hmm, was made so much easier because we've already gone through the nerves of the first episode of Truly Darkly Creeply. You know,
uh-huh,
it's something that, you know, when we record these episodes, I'm sure you can hear a difference in how we record, dear listeners, dear readers. But for us, it's hard to see, you know, we're just living in it. It's so present for us. But it might be interesting to go back and listen to our very first episode just to hear.
I don't think I could. Like, I feel like it would make me so anxious. With that, I wrote down a couple questions I want to ask you.
Insane.
And I just wanted to ask you, what has been your favorite thing about doing the show?
Oh, it's going to sound so cheesy, Quinn.
Do it.
But like,
lay it on me.
Friendship.
Okay, that's pretty cheesy.
It's so cheesy. I could get emotional talking about it. Hold on, let me move my seat. But like, oh my God. But like, we were close before we did this.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends before, but like,
I can't remember anything before this.
I can't remember anything. It's like having kids.
I don't know how I met you. I feel like one day I looked up and you were sitting across from me with a blue snowball microphone in your face.
And you could just see my eyes.
Do you remember the first couple episodes we shared a blue snowball? Do you remember that? We had to sit really close because we only had one microphone.
No, I don't remember that. I do not remember
In your bedroom, we like sat awkward
No, we
close.
Had different mics in my bedroom, but I remember we were trying to figure out where to record, And the first recording was up in Koa's bedroom.
It was terrible. It was so echoey.
It was echoey. And we were sitting on the floor because we were like, oh, there's this foam padding on the floor that'll absorb sound.
All the sound.
That's not
I'd still say we're not masters of like knowing how to make that
That's
work.
Why it's going to sound so much better with Lifetime. But yeah, I mean, I think like what's been cool is we were friends beforehand, but like I feel like through each episode, we've learned more stories about each other in such an organic way that I think like, you know.
My favorite thing is when people reach out to us to say like that we're making them laugh or that we're, or like when they get specific about being like, I do this for a living and like you're in my ears while I'm doing it and it makes my day at my job better. Or like I know like we've had people reach out and say like, I'm breastfeeding right now and I'm up at night and you're what I'm listening to and it's great. And like people telling us kind of like where they're coming from, what their, I don't want to say struggle, but I do looks like because we're all right, guys? We're all struggling.
We're all in it.
We're all doing this thing called life. And I just feel so connected to those people. And I've been really pleasantly surprised that that's felt that way.
That's been the most humbling thing is people listening to us. I think that's been the most, you're going to ask me what it's surprised not
humbling.
Me most.
It's wait, like, is it humbling? Is that what you say?
That's what I'm saying.
Humbling?
It is.
Oh, I would say it's inflated my ego. I would say like the exact opposite.
Well, that's because we're opposite days. But like, you know, I mean, I look back at like one of the things that has meant the most to me is our friendship for sure. But also I remember, you know, my cousin telling me when she was visiting her mom in the hospital that we kept her company, listening to our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That felt really special.
Yeah.
I thought really special. I also just want to give a shout out to my cousin Becky. That's all.
Shout it.
I want to shout Becky from the rooftops because Becky, you rule.
What has most surprised you?
That people listened.
That people listened. Yeah, I feel that.
That's been the most surprising.
You know, I was surprised how much I actually ended up liking editing because remember we were so nervous when Sarah left and I had to learn how to do that. And you know me, I'm not tech savvy. So that was like a really scary moment
in this relationship.
But that was really scary for me.
Totally.
And to learn how to do it and to get kind of comfortable with doing it and to be like, oh, this is actually like another almost artistic expression where I get to decide what stays in and what gets cut.
Totally.
I actually really couldn't believe how much I like that part of it.
Totally.
And I'll miss that, you know?
Totally. Yeah, but we're still going to have Patreon. Don't worry. You'll still be editing my
ums and likes. Oh, that's so true.
And
that's about as much editing as I want to do is two episodes a month.
Actually, that's good.
If I can be honest.
That's good.
That's where I'm at with that.
Wait, I want to ask you, why did you ask me? So if you're new to listening, and I hope you're not, but if you are new, Quinn asked me. Quinn pitched this show idea to me.
Weird episode to start with, first
of all. Weird episode to start with, but.
I asked you because we have a lot of really cool female comedians in our life that I thought about asking, but I wanted to ask you because I thought you would take it really seriously because – oh, you know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
You know, our friend John has a really good joke where so John had this joke in an improv show we would do where he'd meet with people and he was trying to get to know them over a cup of coffee in real life. But it's a game that they were playing. But anyway, God, I can't really describe that. But like the point being, John would do this joke where he'd go to get to know each other. Let's all say our favorite thing about Mark Wahlberg on the count of three. One, two, three, his work ethic.
Brothers.
It always made me laugh so much. So I would say my favorite thing about you is one, two, three, your
brothers.
Work ethic.
You knew I would work
rise
hard.
To the occasion.
You knew I'd rise to the occasion.
I knew you weren't going to be the guy that did this six times and then was like, oh, something came up. It's really hard to get people to just show up.
You know?
And this podcast isn't even just about just showing up.
Right.
It's about doing a little homework and showing up. And it's not everybody that I could – I knew how badly I wanted to do it. So it was – I wasn't worried about my commitment to the project. But I needed to think of somebody that was somebody I'd want to talk to and do this with every week and that I thought I'd have fun doing it with, but almost – more importantly or equal importance is somebody that would show up and do the work. And totally. I really don't have.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It's a huge part of it.
Wow. Yeah. Kids, do your homework.
Do your homework. The more you know.
You're going to ask me if I ever wanted to quit or what? What are you going to ask me now?
Did you ever want to quit?
No.
Me never. Either. I never did either.
Never. I think one, because I'm loyal as hell and I'm like, I made a commitment for better or worse. I made a commitment and I'm sticking it through. Mm-hmm. I don't think. Yeah, I don't. There was no point in me that was like, no, this was just a part of my schedule. I mean, when we weren't getting paid nothing. I also think, too, is we started this in December 2019 or a little before we started recording. Mm-hmm. And then the pandemic happened and it became like just a part of our practice of like creative expression when everything was shut down. Mm-hmm. Like this was so much a part of COVID for me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think because, and it's so funny because it became something that I just did. It was a commitment. It was something I did and I didn't see an end in sight. But I'm like so lucky.
If only we could channel this into some sort of gym regimen, we'd really be so fit.
The thing is you need to find, if you wanted something, do something consistently. You have to do something you like. Unfortunately, I like doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too. Should we lift weights while we do it?
And just be out of breath.
People would love that.
Did you never wanted to quit?
No.
Because it always, you know what it was? It always was really fun.
Yeah.
Like I'd sometimes be like dragging my feet on research or like what story to do, to look it up. There was sometimes I would drag my feet with that. But every time I'd get into the weeds or tell you a story or surprise you, that was always so fun. Or like when I'd come with like a really fun story, like I remember being like, nothing is better.
When you told the story about the rape by deceit, that was like, I have never heard of that kind of crime or thought about that kind of crime. And it gutted me.
That one was horrifying. That one was that. Yeah.
But the idea that you could be so fooled by somebody that it would. It even sort of harkens back to the more recent one I did of the puppet master story.
Totally.
Of that guy. But just like losing years of your life to being under the impression that something is true when it isn't, and how scary that kind of lie is, and how hard it is to sort of put into words or prosecute that as a crime. But it is the scariest crime in the world because so many other things happen and are horrible, but then they're over and you either are dead, I guess, or you have time to like heal. But the idea that like someone would brain fuck you on that level just horrifies me.
I think those are the cases that are so scary to me are the ones that are outside the bounds of law. Like that one freaked me out. But in addition, the woman who would write lies online about a family and no one could prosecute her. And she just created these webs of lies that were horrifying and horribly damaging to this family. Like those ones where they can't be punished.
Yeah. Annabelle, the doll.
Or Annabelle, the doll.
She was never punished for her crimes.
Never.
Which I hate to see that.
We hate to
There's
see
no
that.
Justice There's for no justice. That doll.
Well, for her victims.
That's exactly.
Justice for her.
We can't talk about her because do you remember when we told that story
and the lights flickered
and the door.
It was so scary.
Do you remember someone knocked at the door and you went and checked and no one was there?
Yes.
But we heard the downstairs door like open and close
and
or something.
And didn't like the door like creak open too?
So scary.
That was scary. But I think the scariest episode we ever did was your labor.
Oh. Scary for who, you know?
I mean, I loved it. I think honestly, to go back to like the work ethic for both of us, that's something I'm most proud of us, that we didn't miss a week. I was late sometimes releasing an episode, but we never missed a week.
Right.
And the week that we were planning on taking off, because you were pushing a baby out of your hoo-ha, we ended up recording it and making a special episode. That's something I'm super proud of us for.
Yeah, it's been a long time to have never skipped a week. It is
I think it's because Quinn read online somewhere that the most important thing about a new podcast is consistency.
I took it really to heart, huh?
And she told me that and we both were like, well, That's our new thing. We do not miss an episode.
We'll never miss one.
It's true. I want to know, what was your... Did you ever want to fire me?
No.
Okay, cool. But what was your, most importantly, what was your favorite story you told?
Ooh, I think like two of the standouts for me would be Redouan Fayed. All the prison breaks and copying movies and stuff.
Yes.
I also really liked The Watcher, all the letters
yes.
that got sent and they yes. finally moved.
Yes.
Because that was another, like, no one ever knew who wrote those. And it was such a sort of spooky vibes, this could happen to you kind of energy about it.
Ooh, I yeah.
What about you? What was your favorite?
Well, I think it's funny because my favorite, well, there's a couple of ones that were favorites. But I think one of my favorite episodes was when we first met our main man, P.I. Ken Brennan.
Oh, I
love P.I. Ken Brennan. It was based on the Vanity Fair article of the Room 348. It's episode 43. I looked it up. It's the murder of Glenn Flanagan or Flanagan. Still don't know how to say his name.
Here we are.
But also, that episode was my favorite to tell you because it was such a mysterious thing, which, spoiler alert, it's this guy who was in a hotel who died and people just assumed it was a heart attack. But what actually happened was there was like a microscopic hole from the door next door and it was a bullet.
Straight bullet.
Went up his balls and hit him in the heart and he died. And they only discovered this after they opened him up in an autopsy.
So crazy.
But not more importantly, but it's a crazy, this guy Ken Brennan, we meet him and he's just like old PI, slicked back hair, New York, New Jersey guy who's like in Florida solving crimes.
Right. And I went to later do a story about one of the crimes he solved where the woman yes. was found outside the hotel, but they couldn't figure out how she'd left the hotel.
It's yeah. So they're just like really cool, interesting cases. But also that episode, I don't know if you remember what it was called.
Common When You Die.
My favorite moment. I think that might have been that might have been my favorite moment. Yeah, I still laugh thinking
so
about it.
That funny. Was like that. And when you told me about Carrie, I pee my pants. I don't think those are the times I laugh the hardest.
And what's funny is they're puns. So I didn't realize you were a pun queen.
Oh, I guess I am. I guess I'm pretty punny.
Guess that's what gets you. That's what gets you.
Well, is Ken Brennan like your favorite character that was introduced to you via the podcast?
I loved him because it feels like reading a mystery novel. The story also gave me the heebie-jeebies, but like Jose Salvador Alvarenga. I don't know if you remember. That was
of course I do.
80.
Out on the sea.
14 months at sea.
14 months.
And he like survived on his own.
And that guy ate like the poison bird or fish
yeah,
or
he like died of food poisoning
because of a snake and oh god, so crazy.
And you know who my favorite person that ever was on our podcast is? Larry Posner.
Oh, you know Larry Posner, I remember when our podcast won him over.
What was it?
Your telling of the Donners, the Donner Party.
Really?
Yeah, he was not sure about us up until then. I think he was like, so you guys are like these two kind of ding-dongs telling each other these stories in yes. this like not very graceful way. I think he was kind of like, that's not a podcast. And then he was like, you know, it's pretty funny listening to you guys like tell this story I knew. And Carrie was like making jokes. It's pretty funny. And I think at that point he was like, wait, I think I get it. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, right? And he was like, yeah, yeah, I'm into it. And then he's never skipped an episode since.
Those have been my favorite emails that you forward me is Larry Posner's favorite lines
yeah.
of the episodes.
Yeah.
Because I forget what I say 5 seconds after
say
it. So it's a nice reminder.
Do you remember when we both came to work only like 5 episodes in and we had picked the same story?
Oh, yeah.
How fucking crazy is that?
Well, it was thematic. It was our Christmas episode.
Still.
And it was
I still think that's absolutely insane.
It's happened like twice. That and the Witch Elm.
Right. Oh, my God. That's so insane.
I do like that. It's a fun game of mind melds that we played. Who's your favorite character?
Arno Fuke, the guy that was like Darkwing Duck.
Oh my God.
The guy that was robbing people, but like he was a cartoon character.
In terms of superlatives, you win with the heist stories. Every heist, I don't know how you find them.
I do love a heist.
And they're so good. every heist story you tell is always really incredible.
Yeah. Was there ever a story you were telling that you really thought, or I was telling, I guess, either way, that you thought was going to go in a particular direction and then you were like, holy shit, what? Like, huge yes. twist moment?
Yes. Oh, what was it? It was, I'm actually not, I don't know if I can remember.
The name?
The name, but it was the case where the guy, it was like clearly the guy was the, it was the police officer yes. killer guy.
Yeah.
And all the evidence, and then all of a sudden, it just switched, and it was an intruder. Do you remember that case? It was like the family, I think, that was murdered. Do you remember?
Mm-mm. When you just said that, I was like, I thought I knew where you were going with it, and now I'm like,
wait, wait, maybe I'm wrong. I could be mixing cases, because that's a total possibility. But what was the one where, like, we thought it was the guy, and then DNA...
No, no. I think what you might be thinking of is the story of the guy that got the dog from them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but it was him. That was the twist, is that like everyone thought it was him, but it felt like then people were like, a kid also goes on the neighborhood walks wearing the outfit. And it was him, but he was exonerated. And then they found out like 20, 30 years later, they were like, it was this guy.
Okay, then maybe that's what I'm referring to. What was one that what was the biggest
Eastbourne murders or something?
What was the biggest twist you?
I think I was just really surprised that when I set out to do the sleepwalking story that I've done like two, but the first one I did, the guy's name I think was Kenneth James Park. I was sure that I was gonna call bullshit on it, and the more I read, the more I believed him.
Yeah.
And that surprised me.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I thought I was going to have the opposite sort of opinion that I ended up having.
Totally.
Yeah.
I find that's what I also have been really loving. For me, I like doing sort of historical cases, which you probably, dear readers, probably know, like when I do the Lindbergh baby or when mm-hmm. I, like, just cases that I think I, or the Donner Party, things that, like, I've heard about, but I don't actually know about mm-hmm. them. And so that's always been really fun to sort of, like, break through sort of like what is said, you know, in polite society, and then actually learning about the cases I find yeah. interesting, like the Dilatov Pass or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Is any of the episodes gave you nightmares or research for one of them or
I
anything?
Mean, I think honestly the ones that have given me nightmares is because I accidentally watched a video. That's the problem, is when I do the
Willendas.
That's exactly what it was. That's... Watching that video, like I remember researching the Flying Willendas, which was, I'm just like listing the episodes because I looked them up, but they're episode 91. And I remember researching that story the night before after having like a glass of or two or three of wine. And I accidentally clicked on the video where you saw him fall.
Mm-hmm.
Of that fateful trip where he was tightrope walking, and it is like that stays with me. Accidentally watching videos stays with me.
Yeah, I
do it so you don't have to. So please don't watch that video.
Yeah, I think like watching a video, it stays with you. Whenever I had to, not had to, but whenever I chose to like read a whole book or something, like I remember the Austin yogurt shop murders really stuck with me because I was like reading that book for days. And it's such a sad case, and they never figured it out. And the woman that wrote it did such a good job. I was just like, I can't stop thinking about this and these poor girls.
Well, I will say, I think I've asked some people what their cases that stand out, and that's a case that stands out to people.
Oh, really?
And I think also because it affected you so much, I think that's why it was so effective.
Right, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that the Thai rescue really like affected me.
That story was so beautiful.
But it was such a nice thing to get to tell a story that wasn't just like, I mean, somebody died, but like generally speaking, the fact that like this miracle sort of happened and all these children were recovered, and also just like we tell so many stories that are about how bad people can be, and to tell a story that's like everyone was doing their best, everyone was working their hardest, everyone was working together to get this done, and so many people, and it was so international,
right?
And totally. People of all ages and all abilities were finding ways to help. That was like a really uplifting story to get to tell.
Yeah, I think that's what I've loved about our podcast, is I think because our umbrella is so big of like paranormal, hauntings, true crime, but also like what would the tie a natural disaster? Like I love that we are able to include that. Like I loved telling the story of the shark attacks that later inspired Jaws because that scares the shit yeah, out of me.
Totally.
So it's like fun to uncover these stories that maybe, yeah, I've just loved doing that.
I want to give a shout out to our top 10 financial contributors. Mm-hmm. These are the people that have to date given the most through Patreon to help support the podcast. And they really should be in the credits of every episode because they're sort of like our executive producers, you
totally.
Know? But Lila and Donna, Whitney, my sister, my parents, Raydell and Larry.
Love to see it.
Ashley M, Ashley K, Kim C, Mandalay, and two very good real life friends. Lucy, that I grew up with, is a big supporter of the podcast. And Michelle, who you know as well.
Yeah.
And is a good friend to both of us, is a big supporter of the podcast. So we want to thank them. And we also want to thank another supporter, not just for supporting us financially, but for supporting us by...
Oh, my gosh.
I mean...
She's our cheerleader.
She's our number one cheerleader, I would say. She's always telling people to listen, and she was the person that scored us a seat on Bob Ruff's True Crime Binge. So we really want to thank Jamie.
Absolutely.
And we also want to say that this is not goodbye. If you guys... want to keep hearing stuff from us, join Patreon.
Join Patreon.
We have some songs to do this week.
We do?
Yeah, we do. We have like four new Patreon subscribers.
Let's do it.
But I also just want to shout out Ashley's dogs, yes. Frankie and Marty, because they listen to the show. Frankie and Marty.
You are so.
And when I farty. I blame it on you because you're dogs and you can't tell people that it wasn't you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Let's thank Heidi.
Heidi, 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 Heidi.
Heidi,
you are so exciting to join our hideout.
Oh my God, that's
that
pretty
was
good.
So bad.
Yeah, Heidi's disappointed for
okay.
sure.
Heidi, Heidi, Heidi ho. You are so coolio. You're joining Patreon and becoming a friend of
ours.
Heidi.
What about Christina?
Hey.
Christina, you know what I mean. I mean that I love you for doing this for us. Christina. What about Courtney? Courtney.
Courtney, Courtney, Courtney.
Why don't you build a Fortney out of your love for us? That's what you did. You gave us all your money and you truly spid right up to the light and you stopped and you flipped and you flopped and you got out of the car and did a fire drill and ran around and got back in. Courtney, Courtney, you are at it again. That's what happens when you just say what's on your mind when you're sick.
I have to tell you, Quinn.
Please.
In your teeth right now, there's a piece of lettuce.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense. It's like I couldn't be less dignified or more embarrassed about myself and the energy I'm bringing to the table, and then you gave me that.
I really
Is it
love
this
it.
Too?
No, it's right here.
Is it this too?
No, next.
Way
there.
Over here?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be able to get that.
It's all the way in the top.
Yeah.
Do you feel it?
Mm-mm.
There you go. There it is.
Is it gone? Oh, I do feel it.
There it is. You got it. You got it, babe.
I think it was cilantro.
Cilantro. Coriander.
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Stephanie. Stephanie. You are the best, Stephanie. We love you, Stephanie. 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 You gave us Stephanie. Yeah. Stephanie. Our favorite. Thank you so much, Stephanie. You.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Oh, I guess I would be remiss if I didn't promote Koa's new show. He told me the other day that he started a podcast.
I love that Koa is a podcaster in his imagination.
Yeah,
I think that's the sweetest.
I didn't know, but he was like, oh, I got to record. I have a podcast. And I was like, oh, you do? And what's it called? And he was like, it's called Big Creepy Paws on Your Face. And I was like, ooh, wow. What is it about? Like scary stuff? And he was like, no, we mostly talk about Christmas. And I was like, oh, okay. That's great. And he says he hosts it with his friend Oakley. And then he was like, well, Joni's there too. Joni, it's Joni's idea. And she tells us what to talk about. And I was like, so Joni, who by the way is like 3.5. I was like, so Joni's your producer? And he's like, yeah.
Wait, I'm obsessed with that. I would record. Can we do a special recording of Koa's podcast?
I would love to. I mean, his story never changed. So I'm tempted to look on Spotify and just see if Big Creepy Paws on Your Face is there. It might be.
I think we should have a special episode. I think here's the thing. I'm comfortable giving him free advertising because you birthed him.
Oh my God, that's so generous.
Do you think he'll promote
you.
Our podcast on his podcast?
I don't think he has the time, frankly.
He's pretty busy.
Yeah.
He is.
Would you like to do a couple weird? Yes. We're going to do like.
We did. So we, yeah. Listen, it's our podcast. It's a truly, deathly, creepy vibe. We wanted to give you a couple of creepy, weird death stories.
But without doing homework.
But without doing a lot of homework.
What we're doing is, you guys might recall from a previous episode, and I told Carrie a story about like a poodle crossing a street and a series of a million deaths that occurred.
Four.
Basically, it was so weird though. It was a domino effect and it was fascinating. I told Carrie that story and then we were talking about how there's like a Wikipedia that lists some strange deaths. So I said, Carrie, let's just each pick a few strange deaths and just tell these vignettes to round out this little episode we're bringing you to give you a little bit of
okay.
spooky vibes.
Can I go first?
Please,
can we alternate? How many did you do?
I did 5.
Quinn, I did 3.
I can, you know what, then I go first and you go in between and
great.
It will work.
Great.
Okay.
Of course, this feels so right. You were like 3 to 4, I was like 3. Please talk to me about my work ethic again. I wonder if we picked the same ones. It's a long list.
Could be. Did you do 1924 Thornton Jones?
No, tell me.
Okay. This is a lawyer in Wales.
Do you need a minute?
No. This is how I sound. I'm so sorry. This is who you're doing this show with today. He woke up one day and was like, wait, my throat is fully slit. Could not speak, grabs a pen, grabs a piece of paper, and writes on it right before dying, I dreamt that I had done it. I awoke to find it true. So the verdict.
But they didn't even like.
The verdict was like temporary insanity and that it was self-inflicted. Not clear. And you wonder because it's like the 1920s. You're like, somebody could have killed him and then written that on a piece of paper. But they're like,
he also
nope,
had
he
a
wrote
dream
it.
That he went to the bathroom and peed, but he actually peed his bed as well.
I have done that once.
I think that's why I mention
been.
It because I think it's pretty common. It's common,
common
when
you
die.
Die.
Okay, did you do this story? This one actually I did not get from the Wikipedia article that you sent me. I got this from a BuzzFeed article.
Cool, let's hear it.
But it's Dr. Robert Liston. So he's a famous surgeon in the 1800s. And he's such a famous surgeon because he's one of the fastest surgeons alive. And in the 1800s, they didn't have anesthesia. So it was pretty, it would behoove you to go to a surgeon that was fucking quick.
Yeah.
Right? So his... On his docket that day, he has to amputate a leg. No anesthesia. Gotta be quick. So he's trying to save this patient. He goes in to amputate the leg and no anesthesia and he's quick and he ends up cutting off the fingers of his assistant while he's doing it quick. You know, stay out of his way, you know? So he cuts the fingers off of his assistant. He cuts the fingers off of his assistant in addition to amputating the leg. However, in doing so, both of them sustained gangrene infection and they both died.
Ugh.
In addition, at this time, there were like a lot of people in the gallery watching and they weren't far away. They were pretty close. Again, like germs. It was the 1800s. They're like, this guy needs his leg amputated. We need to learn. Let's all hands on deck sort of vibe. So he's wielding this saw, cutting off this guy's leg.
Yeah.
And he turns and the guy behind him is a doctor and he like cuts him or he thinks he cuts him. It's just his coat that he cuts with his saw. But the guy behind him sees the blood, sees the cut, assumes he got cut in half. He goes into shock and he is in cardiac arrest and he dies.
What?
So they say this doctor, Robert Liston, had a mortality rate of 300%. He tried to save one person and he ended up killing three based on the gangrene and also cutting a guy's coat and putting him into shock and cardiac arrest. So he has a mortality rate of 300%.
I don't like those odds.
But wild, like you go to save one patient and you kill three. I mean, I shouldn't laugh, but that's
but
insane.
Next time consider for everyone just calling in sick, please.
Or just like maybe take a little bit more time. He cut off.
I've got one that kind of is a good relatable. So, you know, the woman that wrote Goodnight Moon.
I saw this one. I almost did it. I'm so glad I didn't, but I'm obsessed with this. This is wild.
So she went to the hospital, dear readers, with an ovarian cyst. And then afterwards, she was like, I'm so healthy. I want to show off. And she kicks her leg up in the air.
She was like a full Sally O'Malley. Kick. To kick and stretch and kick. And when she kicked,
there's a blood clot in her leg that gets dislodged and travels up to her brain and fucking kills her.
Goodnight Moon.
I guess so. That's so crazy.
I bet you'll never look at Goodnight Moon the same way that she did, like a high kick and then a blood clot traveled
to
her brain.
It's so wild.
That is insane. I mean, what I liked about that story was like, was it really the kick that did it in? Do you know what I mean? Or was that just like a fun...
Or like, did it like speed the process, you mean, of like something like that would have was inevitable? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Oh my God, that's so wild. Did you see Mary Reeser? I think she was right below it.
It's so funny you say that. Is Mary Reeser...
the spontaneous combustion?
That's what I'm doing the mini on. Spontaneous human combustion as a subject. Like as a subject and talking about cases of it happening. But just
Wait, I'm so stoked.
I do know about Mary. But Should I please tell it? Sure.
Okay, so Mary Hardy Reeser, she's 67 years old. She's in St. Petersburg, Florida. We're in Florida, baby. We already know shit's about to get weird. It's 8 o'clock in the morning, July 2nd. It's 1951. Mary's landlady comes to her apartment to deliver a telegram. I hope it's a singing one, but who knows? So she knocks on the door, no answer. She goes to turn the knob to give the telegram to Mary, but the knob is hot. And I guess she like really paid attention in school for fire. And so she was like, ah, this isn't good. So she calls the police. They come in, they open the door, and they find Mary's remains on a chair. Now, what makes it so interesting is that the majority of Mary is in ashes. What remains is her backbone, her skull, which is shrunk quite a bit. And the things around her, like in the near vicinity that are plastic, are sort of softened and melted. And they also find part of her foot is still in her slipper.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like she just melted or like basic combusted. And so nothing around her is burnt. Like there's no smoke damage. The furniture has very little smoke damage. It's pretty bewildering to walk in and find this scene that has no other damage. And what they think happened was this spontaneous combustion. She was really into taking sleeping pills and she was a smoker. So they think she had taken a sleeping pill, had a cigarette. The cigarette was not put out and it landed in her lap. And the fat of her body allowed her to burn to completion. Like it became the fuel to burn her body. And she was on a concrete floor. So that is not a conduit. That did not spread the fire. And the chair was isolated enough from the things around her that she was burned to death and essentially cremated from a cigarette.
Yeah.
But again, what's so crazy, just the furniture was not scorched. There was not a lot of damage.
Yeah, to walk into that room and see that sight would have been so fucking crazy.
So insane. And then the skull of it, the skull was shrunken. And so there was like confusion of how would that happen in a case like this, right? Like it wouldn't shrink, but so they call it like her cause of death is spontaneous combustion.
I thought this one really caught my eye. In the 70s, there's this health food advocate who has the best name for a health food advocate, which is Basil Brown. And Basil Brown lives in England and in the name of health, I guess, consumed 70 million units of vitamin A. I don't know what a unit of vitamin milligrams? A would look like, but 38 liters of carrot juice in the course of 10 days.
I bet he was orange. I bet he was bright orange.
It turned his skin bright yellow. You're really close.
Because when a baby has too many carrots, the carotene makes their noses bright orange.
It's called like keratinosis, and it does turn you bright fucking yellow. It's pretty fucking crazy. I mean, but that's how Basil died.
Is it Basil or Basil?
It's definitely Basil, but I think because they're a health person, I prefer to mispronounce it and say Basil.
Should we do a Basil Brown salad and have just like basil and carrots?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dark. That's a lot of carrot juice.
It makes me sick thinking about it.
Do you like the taste of carrot juice?
No. Who does?
I don't know if I like. I don't know.
I would never order a carrot juice. I don't think a lot of places have it, but I would never be one to order a carrot juice. You can throw a carrot in a smoothie with a bunch of other shit so I don't taste it, but.
It's not. My parents used to boil frozen carrots and put brown sugar and butter on it. It was delicious.
That does sound good.
Midwest veggies. We love to see them. I like this one because this name also makes sense. His name is Dick Wertheim, a.k.a. Richard.
Dick Wertheim?
Dick Wertheim. Oh. Or Wertheim.
Wertheim.
Well, W-E-R-T-H-E-I-M.
All right, I don't know.
I'm going to call him Dick Wertheim.
Dick
W.
All right.
Dick W. from The Bachelor. Okay. So this is a story for Raydell. So he's a tennis linesman.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job.
Whatever that means.
And it's 1983 U.S. Open. He is a line chair. He's officiating the center line. So he's in a chair. Tennis player Stefan Edberg goes up to the line, bounces the little tennis ball, hits it in the air, and fucking serves it. And these serves are pretty fucking fast. So he serves it, and it hits Dick Wertheim directly in the groin. Like, it nails him in the groin.
He dies from getting hit in the groin by a tennis ball. That's horrible.
So what happens, he gets hit in the groin, but then he's like, oh, and then he falls over and hits his head.
And that's how he dies?
So he was marked unconscious. He had some pre-existing, like he had a stroke in his 40s and a heart attack in his 40s. So he had some like pre-existing.
He doesn't feel that far to fall.
Well, I don't know if he was in the like tall chair, but I assume not, because if a serve hits him in the balls and he's sitting in a chair from on the center line, I think he probably was sitting closer to the ground. Uh-huh. I don't think he was in a tall one. So it's not a far way to chair. It's not a fall way to fall. It's not a far way to fall. So it's so powerful. This groin shot hits. He then falls over. He hits his head. He's taken to the hospital and he's unconscious. And five days later, he dies.
Oh, no.
His family sues the U.S. Tennis Association for $2.25 million, but the judge says that the tennis ball was not the proximate cause of death.
It was
actually the head injury.
So funny on those technicalities, right?
Totally. Totally.
Fascinating.
But Dick died. I mean, listen, without the ball hitting his groin, he wouldn't have died. It wasn't the ultimate cause of death, but like, you know, you can die from COVID, but die from COVID-related things. Like, I would say this is a ball to the groin related death to a guy named Dick.
Oh, I didn't tie it together.
Well, I did that for
you. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
His name is Richard, and he could have chose Rick or Rich. Chose Dick,
and that would be his fate.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's really recent, this last one. It's in November of 83.
That's when this one was.
Oh, yours is 83 too?
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what happened that same year?
What happened?
Jimmy Ferroso, who is a bouncer at a club in San Francisco, he and his girlfriend Teresa decide, presumably no one's there and, you know, he's a bouncer so he has access to the club. Maybe it's after closing. I'm sort of speculating, but I do presume they're alone because they decide they're going to get nasty on the piano. And it's one of those pianos that they would do shows where it came out of the sky. Oh, so like you're watching the stage, like a Liberace the piano vibe. Gets yeah. like lowered in, and it's very romantic, amazing Pegasus vibes. So they're having sex on the piano, and somehow he activates the mechanism that raises the piano. So it's just on the stage. They're having sex, and it starts to get raised. Somehow she gets Phantom away.
It was Phantom of the Opera.
Had to have been. He gets crushed to death by this piano in the ceiling. What a crazy thing, right? And oh, imagine being her. She got away. But, like, you're having sex with your boyfriend, and then you're like, this is so funny. The piano's raising. And then you, like, climb off it, and why did he stay? And did it go really fast, and they didn't have time? I'm missing a lot of details here, but horrible.
I think, like, any time anyone dies during sex has to be horrifying. We want to talk about our new podcast. So, listen.
Oh, my gosh. Should we play some of it?
Let's play the cold open. Okay, so last week, wait, I just want to say, last week it came out on Tuesday. So this episode's coming out on Friday. The first episode is out. And the first episode, are we playing just the first episode cold open?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the first episode just dropped, and it's about a man who washed up on the Chesapeake Bay. He's dead. He's chopped up into three suitcases. And the convicted murderer has become known as the suitcase killer. So we're going to give you the cold open of that episode. And so here's how the new episode starts.
It's Sunday, April 15th, 2007, and splashed across the front page of Central New Jersey's Home News Tribune reads, "Did she or didn't she?"
An image of a woman looking tired and haggard rests on the top right of the article. The woman in the picture is Melanie McGuire, and she's on trial for the murder of her husband.
The article presents two possibilities in the case of the 34-year-old widow. Did her husband, Bill McGuire, pack his bags, leave their apartment, and get murdered by unknown persons?
Or did she kill him with the .38-caliber weapon she'd purchased 2 days earlier?
A few hours before the prosecution believes Melanie killed her husband, the couple had put down a mortgage for a four-bedroom colonial house in a scenic tree-lined neighborhood in Asbury, New Jersey. Melanie was a nurse at a fertility clinic, and Bill was an adjunct professor at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. They had two young, healthy boys.
On the surface, it seems like a happy, normal couple moving forward in life. But the couple will never move into the picturesque house at 29 Halls Mill Road. And under the surface, they certainly weren't happy.
Just 1 week later, a fisherman finds what remains of Bill cut into pieces, stuffed in three suitcases, and tossed into the Chesapeake Bay.
All that's left in Melanie's trial are the closing arguments and for the jury to make the final call. Did she? Or didn't she? And if she did, what drove this once happy couple to the brink? I'm Quinlan Posner.
And I'm Carrie Ipama. And this is
Crime of a Lifetime. Are you guys on pins and needles?
Pins and needles!
You can't wait to listen.
Don't we sound so serious?
I mean, it is. We're very serious.
We're very serious. Don't worry. Then it becomes conversational and like us, but that's a fun way to open an episode.
Yeah, I love it.
The music.
Do-do-do-do-do.
They did so well.
Yeah, I can't wait for you guys to hear us.
To come with us. I can't
wait. Come with us on this journey.
So the next episode that's coming out next Tuesday, so start your calendars from Friday now to Tuesdays. The next episode is a really cool story. It's about Pearl Lusk. And I don't know what we can tease about that next episode, but it is
a doozy.
It is a doozy. It is surprising. And Quinn and I are working on optioning ourselves to play the lead characters because there's no other option.
It was written for us.
There's a blonde. There's a brunette. Done. There's a smart one. I'm pointing at Quinn. There's an idiot one.
Oh, stop. Come on. You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for the last 130 episodes for coming with us on this journey. And let's just hop on over to this other little road, this yellow brick road. And skip in a circle towards Tuesday. And you can keep coming with us.
So please like, subscribe, rate, review.
Oh, totally. You guys got to do that for this new one
called Crime.
Otherwise, our bosses are going to be like, are they even good at this? So come on, like, tell them we are, you know, let them know by Crime of a Lifetime. Go to the Apple one, hit the 5-star, hit the write a review, do the little plus symbol that means you subscribe. It takes a total of, I put it at like 38 to 39 seconds for you to do it. So just do it. Come on.
Do it. What have you got to lose? Go wherever you find your podcasts, Crime of a Lifetime. And also join Patreon because we're going to be sharing more fun stories and about our lives. And also, we're also going to be doing 2 Patreons a month. So please join Patreon if you want to keep up with what Quinn and I have going on in our lives.
Love you guys.
We love you so much, Quinn. I love you. Dear readers, I love you. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. I truly can't say thank you enough because we would not be here if it wasn't for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Koa, you want to take us out?